We'd like to read now from 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning with verse 3. The Word of God says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. They said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die.'" You understand the situation that they're in there? First of all, they had leprosy. They're sitting outside the city of Samaria, outside their home city. They can't go into the city because, first of all, they have leprosy. Second problem is that there is a major famine in Samaria. So they say, well, even if we go into the city, we're going to die because there's a famine there. We're going to starve to death in the city. They finally decide the only thing that we can do is that we will go into the host of the Syrians. That's their enemies. We'll go to the Syrians. They have food. Maybe they will spare our lives. Verse 5 says, "And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And while they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there." Imagine that now. They get into the camp of the Syrians. Here are all the tents, and there's not a single person in the host of the camp of the Syrians. The verse 6 tells us why. "For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." Why did the Syrians flee? Why did they flee? Was it because an army was coming against them? No. It wasn't because there was actually the army of Israel joining with other armies. That's not the reason they left. But they thought that that was what was happening because God had caused them to hear the sound of chariots and horses, and that made them afraid. So they ran away and left everything just like it was. Verse 8 says, "And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it." You think they were happy to finally have them some food and gold and silver and raiment? And then the scripture says, "And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and went and hid it." Now they're going into the camp. Nobody's home. So they're going into a tent. They're taking food and gold and silver and clothing. They leave. They hide that. Then they decide, well, they're still not back. So they went back into the city to a second tent, and they got the same things again and went back and hid it. Verse 9 says, "Then they said one to another, 'We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household.'" That is, these men, these four leprous men, they said, "Let's go to the king's household. Let's go to the children of Israel, and let's tell them." Why? What was their condition? They were in the middle of a famine. And so what they're saying is, it's not right for we four to have plenty of food now, and all the children of Israel are starving to death. Let's go to the king's household and tell them to come. You can go home and read the rest of this chapter, how the whole host of the children of Israel, they went into the Syrian camp, and they had plenty of food and gold and silver and were able to take everything that they wanted. I want us to go back and look, beginning in verse 3, I want us to look at these four men who had leprosy. And they were starving, and they had nowhere to go. And the scripture says that, and there are actually two times I want you to think about this, that somebody, these four men, they all decided, we do not well to sit here. They said, why sit we here until we die? Isn't that a good question that all of us need to sometimes ask ourselves? Why sit we here until we die? I believe that there are many occasions in the lives of the people of God that they reach that point that they are just like these four lepers. They just sat down and are waiting to die. There are churches. I have a number of pastors who have told me that they are at churches that all they're doing is waiting for the church to die. Now that's a shame and a disgrace. It's a shame that a pastor would ever stay in a church and think that the only purpose of him being there is to preach the funeral of the church. If the pastor doesn't feel a strong love for God and the people of God, and if he's not going to go forward and serve God and serve the people and serve the community, then certainly the church, if it's not motivated to serve God, and if God does not manifest his grace, they will all die. But that's not the attitude that the people of God ought to have. There ought to never be a time in my life or in yours that we ever say, we're just going to sit down and give up. There ought not to ever be a time in our lives, doesn't matter how big the problems are, doesn't matter how major a trouble you might have, the people of God ought not to ever give up. These four lepers did not give up. They all of a sudden said why they came to their senses. It's kind of like the prodigal son that was out there wasting his father's goods, and he was hungry, and he was starving, and living in a hog pen. And then the scripture says, and he came to himself. God brought him to his senses. I believe that God is the one that brought these four lepers, brought them to their senses, and they began to say to each other, why sit we here until we die? There's something we can do, and we're going to do something. Even if we still die, we're going to do something rather than just sit here and die. We may go into the city, and they may slay us, but we're going to do something other than just sit here and die. It's much like when Esther, you remember Queen Esther and Mordecai in that book of Esther? You remember how there was a decree given that all the children of Israel were going to be killed. And Mordecai spoke to Esther, who was the queen, but she was a Jew. And Mordecai told Esther that she did not need to think that she would be spared, that she was going to die along with the rest of the children of Israel. And she was afraid to go into the king because she knew that if she approached the king without the king calling her, she knew it would mean death. So she was in a dilemma to either just sit down and do nothing and die when the king carried out the decree that he had signed and began to kill all the children of Israel. She could do nothing. She could sit down and die, or she could go into the king and hopefully, possibly, God would intervene and she might not die. And she began to go forward and she said, if I die, I die. She was willing to die, but she was not willing to sit down and do nothing. I pray that God will help us as the people of God, that we might come to our senses and that we might realize sometimes the condition that we are in is that we're going to die if we don't do something. That we would realize that spiritually we're going to die unless we get up and go forward and begin to do something, though it might lead to death there. I would rather die in a battle than to die sitting down. Hadn't you rather do that? Hadn't you rather die as a good soldier of Jesus Christ than to just sit down? And so we need to ask ourselves, why sit we here? Why sit we here until we die? We don't need to sit down. We don't need to sit down on the seat of do nothing. We don't need to sit back and say, well, you know, we're saved by grace and we're just all going to heaven. And so we'll just sit down and do nothing. The people of God who believe and understand the truth of salvation by grace, sometimes they are deceived by the devil into thinking there's nothing for them to do. I want you to know, brethren, that even though there's nothing for me or you to do to bring about our eternal salvation, there is much for us to do if we're going to enjoy the abundant life that God has prepared for us here in this world. We will die, we will perish, if we don't wake up and realize there's a lot for us to do. And we need to get up and go forward and do what the Lord would have us to do. In 1 Kings chapter 19, there was another man that just wanted to sit down and die. Who was that man in 1 Kings 19 that wanted to just sit down and die? Elijah. Now, was Elijah a great man of valor? Was he a mighty man of valor? Had Elijah gone forward and slain all kinds of people? Had he manifested great faith in God when he called for fire to come down from heaven? Had Elijah been a great minister of the gospel? Had he preached the word? Had he stood where he ought to stand? But finally he reached that point. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to sit down under a juniper tree. He wanted to sit down and do nothing. Someone asked me recently, when do you plan to retire? I plan to retire when my toes turn up in the grave. There is no retirement for a man of God. There is no retirement for me, and there's no retirement for you. There will never be an age where you can sit down and do nothing. There are a lot of older people that sometimes say, well, we want to turn everything over to the young people in the church. And indeed, I believe the young people in the church, they do not need to sit down and do nothing, but there's never a time for the old people to sit down and do nothing either. This dear brother right here, I asked him just before I came up to try to preach. I said, I want you to pray for me. He said, I pray all the time. He said, that's all I can do, but I pray all the time. That may be all you can do, but I'll tell you, brother, you're a good brother to keep on praying. Don't sit down and do nothing. Don't sit down until you die. Sit down and pray if all you can do is sit down. He might not be able to walk. He might not be able to run, but he can sit down and pray, and he can kneel down and pray, and he can lay in his bed and pray. And if that's all a person can do, that's all God requires of them. But I'll tell you, that's one reason that most of us are still going is because somebody, that's all they can do is pray. Somebody's doing something. Elijah had reached that point that he just wanted to sit down and die. Now, was that pleasing to God? Was that pleasing to God? For God to have poured His Spirit out on Elijah, for God to have blessed Elijah in miraculous ways, and then Elijah said, well, you know, I'm just going to sit down under the juniper tree and die. I just want to die. Doesn't that make you sick to your stomach that a man of God, as great as Elijah, would just want to sit down and die? When he could have done so much more. The United States of America is in a terrible condition. I think everybody here would agree to that. Now you can, and we can either sit down and give up and say the devil has won our nation. Certainly the majority of our nation has gone the way of the devil. We can either sit down and do nothing, or we, to the last day that we draw breath, we can go forward as soldiers of Jesus Christ, and we can hold up the Word of God, and we can say, this is right, and what you're doing is wrong. We can either continue to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, or we're good for nothing than to be trodden under the foot of men. If we're going to sit down and do nothing, we deserve the worst of hell here on this earth. Does everybody understand that? If we're just going to sit down and do nothing, we're just going to give up. If we're going to throw in the towel, if we're going to surrender to the devil, we're going to live a devil's hell while we live here in this world. God's children, when they give up, God is not pleased with that. Look at Elijah. I mentioned him in 1 Kings 19, starting in verse 4. The Word of God, this is when Jezebel got after him. How many of you would name your daughter Jezebel? Do you know why you wouldn't name your daughter Jezebel? It's because of this wicked woman right here in God's Word. I've never met a woman named Jezebel. Jezebel was a wicked woman. Jezebel hated God and the things of God. Jezebel got after Elijah, and Elijah was afraid of Jezebel. The Word of God says in verse 4, 1 Kings 19, verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down. What did those four lepers do out there that were just outside the city? What were they doing? They were just sitting down. Now Elijah came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Listen, brethren, if he was willing to die, if he wanted to die, he shouldn't have sat down to die. What should he have done? He should have gone to Jezebel, who was threatening to kill him. He should have gone to Jezebel, and with his last breath, he should have said, Jezebel, God pour out his justice in your life. If he had been killed, it would have been better than to lay down under the juniper tree and give up. Go with me back to 2 Kings chapter 7. I think this is just one of the most amazing things in the world, that these four men, first of all, could ever reach a point they just wanted to sit down and die. However, I know a preacher that sometimes wants to do that. Do you know anybody that ever wants to just give up? Is there anybody here that sometimes just thinks, you know, I've gone as far as I can go. I'm at the end of the row. I don't want to keep on going. How many of you here ever reach that point you just want to sit down and die? I think that probably every child of God sometimes reaches that. You get weak and weary and tired and faint, and you want to just sit down and die. Brethren, God's speaking to us today and telling us we better not sit down and die. We'd better go forward. We need to come to our senses and ask ourselves this question, why sit we here until we die? Let's go forward. There's something that can be done. We may die anyway, but it would be better to die serving God than to die sitting down. Look now at chapter 3. We're in 2 Kings chapter 3. Come down to verse 9. Did they talk to each other in verse 3? What did they talk to each other in verse 3 about? They talked to each other in verse 3. They said one to another in verse 3, why sit we here until we die? Now they said that one to another. Isn't that wonderful? All of a sudden, they started talking to each other and said, this isn't a good idea. Come down to verse 9 now. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, and this is after they've gone in, and they've eaten, and their bellies are full, and they've hidden food and gold and silver and raiment in their own area. They've hidden it. But now, what was the problem right now in their lives? I want you to hear the scripture in verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. We're not doing right. We're not doing good. What was it? Now they said to one to another, it's like the prodigal son who came to himself. And they said one to another, we're not doing well. What is it that they were not doing well? What is it that they were doing that was wrong? They were just concerned about themselves. They were just concerned about themselves. The kings, listen carefully, the expression here in the latter part of verse 9 is the king's household. Do we have a king over us today? Does the king have a household? Does he have a lot of children all over this earth? And it is a shame and a disgrace, brethren, when God has blessed us. Follow this carefully. God has blessed us to enter into the city and to partake of the treasures in this holy city, the New Jerusalem, we've been able to go into the city and we have sat down at the banqueting table. We've gone into the city of God, the New Jerusalem, the kingdom of heaven, and we have rejoiced beyond measure. And if we just rejoice in us entering in, we do not well. Why? Because the king's household is perishing for hunger. There are children of God all over this city. They need to dwell in the kingdom of heaven. They need to hear the truth of the Word of God. They don't need to hear about some little weak Jesus who can't do anything unless you'll let Him. They need to hear about the sovereign Jesus who is God manifest in the flesh, who came into this world for a purpose and He accomplished what He came to do. That's the Jesus they need to hear about. That's the Jesus that will give them strength and courage and peace in their soul. They need to know, as those shepherds did. You remember in Luke chapter 2 how those shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night? You remember that? And you remember the angel of the Lord came and appeared unto them and said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Is that good news? That's good news. Do you know that good news? That there's a Savior, not somebody who's trying to say, "I'm talking about the Savior." Do you know the Savior? Are there a lot of God's children? Are there people in the king's household who don't know the power of Jesus Christ? They don't know the Savior. They don't know that there's a city right now they can go in and partake of food and raiment. They can put on the white robes. They can partake of the king's table. They can have the gold and the silver. They can rejoice with you in the city. We do not well if we go into the city and are not concerned about others. Those shepherds there in Luke chapter 2, when they heard that good news, when they were hearing that wonderful news that made their hearts rejoice, the scripture says, then they went and they spread abroad the message that they had heard. The shepherds went to Bethlehem and they saw Jesus. And when they saw Jesus, they then went and told everybody they had seen the King. Have you seen the King? Well, is it all right for you to just sit around and say, "You know, I know Jesus"? Is it all right for you to sit down and just say, "Well, I'm happy. One day I'm going to heaven. So I'm just going to lay down with this wonderful truth because I know one day I'm going to heaven"? Is it enough for you to say, "Well, I'm not only going to heaven, but I can have the kingdom of heaven here, and I can sit down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus"? Is that enough for you to do, is to sit down in the kingdom of heaven and do nothing? Absolutely not. It is important that you remember the King's household, the brothers and sisters in Christ that are all around us, that are hungry to hear the truth of the Word of God. Many of them have never been in the city. Many of them are out there starving to death. And we do not well. We do not well. What would you have thought of those shepherds if they had gone to Bethlehem and they had seen Jesus, if they had seen all that they saw, and then they just went back to their fields and didn't tell anyone else? What would you have thought about them? Well, they would have not done well had they done that. All through the New Testament, do you know what all the people did when they began to hear about the kingdom of heaven? When they began to see this city, just like these four leprous men went into that city and they found the gold and silver and the raiment and they found that wonderful food there as they were starving, and they went and they told the king's household. Did you know there are children of God all over this world that need to go into the city that you know something about? There are children all over this world that not only need to enter into the kingdom of heaven, they need to know the King of the kingdom. And you know something about that. You know the King. And if you're not telling others about the real King, we do not well if we fail to spread the good news. You know, there are people that work hard on the trumpet of truth every month. One preacher asked me this week, he said, I don't understand why in the world, somebody who's a primitive Baptist who believes in salvation by grace, I don't understand why y'all have a radio program every Sunday. Does that make sense? If you believe in salvation by grace, he said, I get this magazine every month. He said, I don't understand why y'all send out this magazine every month if you believe in salvation by grace. You understand his question? His question and his thought is, he misunderstood what primitive Baptists believe. He thought that primitive Baptists believe that we're saved and we're going to heaven and that's all there is to it. He thought also that primitive Baptists believed that everything was preordained of God. He thought we believed in the absolute predestination of all things, and we don't believe that. We believe that God has chosen a people so great that no man can number out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. And Jesus Christ died and He saved His people from their sins. And that's good news about salvation by grace. We believe Romans 8, 29 and 30 and 31 talks about that God, that whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Who did all the work in what I just described to you? Jesus Christ, God did the work. We do believe that God is our Savior. But we also believe that God's children need some food. They need to experience the abundant life while they live here in this world. And that's the reason that we spend so much time with the trumpet of truth, with the radio ministry, and with individuals going out talking to other people, is because we're thankful. You listen carefully. We're thankful that God didn't just leave us sitting. He didn't just leave us sitting out there, leprous. But rather He came to us and He spoke to our hearts. And He said, don't sit down and do nothing. Get up. Get up and go forward. And we go forward and we find blessings beyond measure. And then we say, you know, it's not enough for us just to have these blessings. We've got children of God all over this world that need to know the truth of salvation by grace. May God help us. And let me say this. I thank God for every one of you that works to go to the nursing home and pick up those people. Brother Carthel, how many people have you ever saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven? How many of you have ever saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven? But have you saved a lot of the dear old saints from sitting there doing nothing at the nursing home? Do you follow that? He has saved them from sitting there doing nothing. Are y'all glad that you're able to come into the house of the Lord? This dear brother, every Sunday, you know what he says to me? He said, I'm glad to be here today and I plan to be here next Sunday too. He says that every week. I'm glad to be here today and I want to be here next Sunday too. Listen, brethren, don't let the people of God sit down out there and miss the joys that can be found in the holy city, is my prayer for Christ's sake.